tune and go up off the rim.
Oh, yeah.
Our very own Skywalker, Elissa Walker-Campbell. As she gets you ready for the 2011 NBA Finals with some of the biggest names in the game.
Elissa Walker-Campbell, I want to welcome you back this weekend to the Big E Sports Show as our NBA Finals conversation continues. And I know our next guest will be able to provide some insight and perspective on what makes the Miami Heat such a difficult matchup for the Dallas Mavericks. And, you know, perhaps what are some of the keys for winning it all and for the Dallas Mavs to walk away with a title? We are so excited. Joining us on the Western Company of Texas phone line is Chicago Bulls television analyst, the great Stacey King, who, oh, by the way, we've also enjoyed listening to him chime in on SportsCenter and providing analysis of the coverage of the Eastern Conference Finals. Stacey, you made all of us Sooners so incredibly proud of you. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. Can't complain. Beautiful day here in Chicago.
Of course, we wish that you were going to be down here in Dallas on Sunday. So let's start off by reflecting on just an incredible season that the Bulls had. It's been over a week since it came to a close. Have you had a chance to kind of reflect and digest on that? And have you fully recovered from Game 5? Because that was a heartbreaker.
Yeah, I think the city of Chicago is still in mourning right now. Still can't believe the way the team went out. But you know, looking back on it, this has been a great season. We've had the MVP of the season. We've had the Coach of the Year, and I think they've exceeded all expectations. I think if you look back at the beginning of the season, no one anticipated that this team would not only be one of the best teams in the NBA, but be the number one team in the NBA, and all the things that they've accomplished along the way has been really, really fantastic. And so, we've got the building blocks to continue this run next season and beyond.
You guys certainly do have an incredible foundation already in place, and you just talked about the growth and how this team continues to evolve, Stacey. I mean, we think back to 1 year ago, 41 wins this season, regular season-wise, 62, and Coach of the Year in Tom Thibodeau, as you said, MVP in Derrick Rose. But I have to tell you, it was really difficult to watch after following you guys in that Eastern Conference Finals. Game one, you beat the Heat by 21 points. We did not see that the Heat would end up prevailing in this particular series.
No, I don't think anybody did. We I thought it was going to be a long series. I thought it would be seven games. These are two of the best defensive teams in the league. And whenever you have two great defensive teams, scoring is going to be very low, which this series was, and every basket was contested. I think in the end, Miami made the adjustments to our team, and we didn't make the adjustments necessary game to game to battle their big three. And, these three guys that they have on their team, Dwayne Wade, LeBron James, and Chris Bosh, they're three of the best players at their position in the NBA, and they're going to be tough for anybody to beat, and that includes the Mavericks. I still give the Mavericks a shot. I think they can win this series, but it's going to be awful tough with those three guys.
Stacey, go ahead and kind of just expound a little bit more. I mean, be more specific. What are some of those defensive adjustments that they will have to make to be able to beat this trio?
Well, I mean, I thought Dallas came out and did what they wanted to do the first three quarters. And we were very similar to what they did. I mean, we did a pretty good job the first three quarters. But, in the fourth quarter, that's where those big three really come into play because, two of those guys are the best closers in the game. And, when you get into the fourth quarter, if the Mavericks are not up by double digits, if it's a close game, it favors Miami due to the fact that they have Dwayne Wade and LeBron James, two of the best closers in the game, to finish the fourth quarter, and you saw that. The Mavericks have a good, well-balanced, though. Their bench is strong, just like Chicago's bench was. They didn't play particularly well. Their bench has to play at a high level for them to even have a chance to win. And, they've been very successful because they've had guys like Jason Terry come off the bench, J.J. Barrera. Those guys have come off the bench and really given them a big boost. And they didn't do that in game one. But I expect their bench to play much better because if they don't, it's going to be a short series.
Would you like to see Coach Carlisle limit his zone defense in that fourth quarter? He likes to utilize that, and we saw many times, even going back to game one earlier in the week, the Heat just got too many wide-open looks at the three-point shot.
Well, their zone has been very effective, and, that's one of the things that I feel that they're going to really give Miami some problems. Miami just made shots, and it's very similar to our game one in the Eastern Conference Finals where we beat Miami by 21, and we hit 30 points from the three-point line. And Miami didn't change their defense. Miami said, hey, we'll give you that outside shot. you're going to have to prove to us that you're going to make it. And what happened was game, you know, 2 through 5, we were not able to capitalize and make jump shots. And I think, you know, Dallas is going to stick with their thing. They've been doing it all year long. You know, we played them in the preseason, and they played the, you know, the games that we played them in the preseason, they pretty much played zone the whole game. And I'd never seen that before. But they're very effective at what they do. I still believe that they're going to make Miami have to beat them from the outside, because I think that's the only way you can slow this Miami Heat down, because Dwayne Wade and LeBron James live on the free throw line. And when they get to the free throw line, that means they're putting pressure on your defense. They're hitting wide open, you know, drive and kick. Guys like Chalmers are hitting shots. Mike Bibby will hit shots who are wide open. They've got to keep those guys on the perimeter if they're going to have a chance to win. I think that zone will be effective later on.
You're listening to The Voice, the great Stacey King, Chicago Bulls television analyst, also was a Sooner sensation up there in Norman, Oklahoma, had a standout career. And Stacey, let's focus again on your Bulls. I mean, where do you expect them to go from here, and what are some of the key areas that will need to be addressed in the offseason?
Well, I think the obvious, we need a two-guard. You know, if we're going to compete against this Miami team, and this seems like it's going to be the team that, you know, is going to be in our way for the next 5 years, we've got to get a two-guard, you know, and whether it be via free agency, trade, and then try to build through the draft. We've got the right pieces. I mean, we've got a great core group. You don't want to have to break that up. But, you know, in order to compete against this Miami Heat team, I mean, they're built for the next 5 years. And in order to compete with those guys, we're going to have to get a solid two-guard, a guy that can take some pressure off of Derrick Rose, that can create his own shot, force the defense have to defend him. And, you know, there's some guys out there, but you got to make sure you get the right pieces, because this is not fantasy league. You know, you just can't go out and just go grab somebody. You know, you got to make sure it's the right piece that fits into what you're trying to do as an organization, as a team. I'm sure that our front office is going to do the right things. They did a great job this past summer, you know, bringing in key free agents that were really big for the Bulls this year, and I expect the same thing this summer.
Secure another player, and, you know, we think, and let's talk about Derrick Rose, only 22 years old. You always have a high praise and accolades for this guy, the league MVP. How much better can he get?
Well, he can get a lot better. I mean, he's worked on his game tirelessly since he's came into the league. He's got that jump shot. Kind of failed him in the Eastern Conference Finals a little bit, but I just think he was a little fatigued. I expect him to come back, and he's a hungry kid. I mean, if you listen to him after the Eastern Conference Finals loss, I was really, you know, devastated. And I'm sure he was right in the gym, you know, midnight right after that game. So I expect him to come back bigger, better, faster next year. I think he'll add a post-up to his game where he can take advantage of some matchups at the point guard spot and then try to, you know, basically open up his game a little bit more, whereas he can get on that post a la Kobe Bryant, Dwayne Wade. You know, that'll give him other facets of his game where you'll have to depend, because, you know, when you look at him where he came in this league, he was just a dribble penetrating guy. A guy just gets to the basket. Then he added a jump shot. And that pretty much made him, you know, where you couldn't guard him. Now if he gets a post game in there, he's going to be lights out, and it's going to be a nightmare for the opposing teams.
Well, Derrick Rose certainly helped the Bulls exceed those expectations. But I know, Stacey, you travel with the team. You spend a lot of time around him. Kind of give us some insight on the person of Derrick Rose, because I have to tell you, watching the trophy presentation for the league MVP, I was really touched by his acceptance speech and just that special relationship that he has with his mother.
Well, I mean, that's not an act. I mean, this kid he comes from a great family. He's got a great, you know, foundation. It's very strong with family commitment. He's a humble superstar, and you know, one of the most humble superstars in the league. And when I say he gets it, he gets it. He understands that it's not about I or me; it's about we. And you always listen to him talk. It's always about his teammates, and you know, his teammates helped him. His teammates deserve this. You know, he never puts himself in front of his team, even though he's a superstar player. Very humble, and really understands what it's like and what it's about being on a team, and being that special player and that special leader. And he's only going to get better. Again, only 22 years old, and the kid talks like he's a 15-year veteran. He's fun to watch. And, you know, like I said, this is no act. This is, you know, both him and Kevin Durant and Blake Griffin for the Clippers. The NBA is in good hands when you're talking about superstars that get it.
The future certainly is bright. Let's transition now. We got to talk about your $80 million man. That, of course, is Carlos Boozer. And I know some folks were kind of disappointed on his game and how he did perform in the playoffs. What was your take?
Well, I don't think he was healthy. You know, I think he was really, you know, nursing a turf toe. He's been hurt, you know, most of the season with nagging injuries. I expect him to play better next year. I mean, this is a guy that was an all-star in the Western Conference. He's a 2010 guy. You know, he's a guy that, you know, we're going to count on, you know, to give us low post scoring. I know a lot of people were down on him in the playoffs because he didn't play up to expectations. And, you know, the first thing they judge players on is their contract. You know, here's a guy who made $80 million, but play like a guy, you know, who might only made $100,000. But he's a much better player than he played in the playoffs. And he was hurt. And, again, people, you know, they don't really feel sorry for anybody who makes $80 million. But then, again, if you play this game, you know how hard and how difficult it is to play when you're not at 100%.
Stacey King has been with us this weekend on the Big E Sports Show. We only have a couple of more minutes, and obviously making the very big headlines this week was the retirement of Shaquille O'Neal. We definitely wanted you to weigh in on that and just his contributions and what he has meant to the game.
Well, Shaq's one of my great friends, and this is a guy who's been really good for the NBA. Just a great guy. Has to be considered top five centers of all time. And just a guy who brought so much joy to people. I mean, this is a superstar guy that, you know, who would talk to the media, who wasn't, you know, he wasn't stuck on himself, you know, has always been a team player. And if you talk to anybody that knows Shaquille O'Neal and has been around this guy, they'll tell you he's a joy to cover. Again, one of my good friends, I've been knowing him for a long time when he was at LSU, so we go back a long way, but you know, this game won't be the same without him. The game will move on, but you won't see the personality of Shaquille O'Neal for a long time.
So what was it like playing inside against him?
Oh, it was a nightmare, you know. I mean, Shaquille O'Neal, I mean, people look at Dwight Howard right now and see how, you know, how good he is. Shaquille O'Neal, it was just a beast. I mean, you know, when he first came in this league, I mean, imagine Dwight Howard, but bigger, stronger, and even faster. I mean, the guy that big, able to move and to be able to, you know, eat up so much space. And I mean, you had to have a game plan to stop him. And there's only a few guys I've seen in this league that when you go over a scouting report, you know, his name is on every page. And that was Michael Jordan, the Magic Johnson, Shaquille O'Neal. Those guys have their own personal scouting report. So that tells you how good he was.
We had to celebrate the career of Shaquille O'Neal, an amazing guy and player. And my final question for you is, of course, the NBA's labor contract expires July 1st. How concerned are you, Stacey, in regards to a lockout?
Well, I mean, to be honest with you, I hope it doesn't get to that point. I know that this has been a great, great NBA season. It's got a lot of more good years ahead of it. And I think the fans are excited about the way the season the parity in the NBA, you know, you're going to see a different NBA championship. You've seen two teams in the finals right now that no one expected to be in the finals. You know, people are the Los Angeles Lakers, you know, Boston Celtics. But now you're seeing two different teams. You're seeing parity in the NBA, and you're seeing a real big growth in the game. So hopefully they'll be able to work it out, and they'll be able to get this thing worked out before next season.
I know there certainly is a sense of urgency. Stacey, enjoy the game, and we really appreciate you stopping on. And what's your off-season going to be like? What are you going to be doing, hanging out at the beach or something?
Yeah, I'm going to hang out with my kids, watch my kids play baseball, play a lot of golf, do some traveling, bike riding, and stuff like that. Staying busy.
Okay, and what is your handicap, would that be, for the game of golf?
Well, my handicap is about as – I'm a real handicap. I should be parking in handicap when I take off.
So you're not single digits.
Oh, no, I'm terrible. Me and Stevie Wonder probably shoot about the same.
Okay, Stace, we'll talk to you again real soon, okay? Thanks for dropping by.
All right, thanks.
We're going to step aside. Much more straight ahead this weekend on the Big E Sports Show. Stay close.
The Big E Sports Show with Elissa Walker-Campbell is the biggest names in sports. Delivering the insight you won't find anywhere else. Anywhere else. Like TCU head football coach Gary Patterson, Texas A&M great R.C. Slocum, and Big E's regular guest of ESPN Radio, better known as the Double Nickel, Jason Peter. The Big E Sports Show with Elissa Walker-Campbell. Miss one episode and you miss the game.
The Western Company of Texas is the premier oil field water transfer service in the Bakken, Barnett, Fayetteville, Haynesville, and Woodward Shale, basically all the shale plays. Their goal is to efficiently transfer water to your next completion job with the best service possible to meet all your water transfer needs. With over 100 miles of water transfer pipe and over 90 high-capacity pumps on hand, they're ready to go to work on your next water transfer job 24/7, even with the most demanding timelines. Their employees log over 430,000 hours a year laying pipe in some of the roughest terrain with zero delays and zero excuses. Give their team a call at 682-831-9300. That's 682-831-9300. Or online at wct.us.com.
Get ready to execute and go up off the rim.
Oh, yeah.
Our very own Skywalker, Elissa Walker-Campbell. She gets you ready for the 2011 NBA Finals with some of the biggest names in the game.
Elissa Walker-Campbell, I'm so glad you're with us this weekend on the Big E Sports Show as we look forward to the Dallas Mavericks back home at the AAC on Sunday evening. And today we have got a fast-moving program. We've got a number of guests, but always a pleasure to have along with us from ESPNDallas.com, Mr. Art Garcia. He has been in Miami all week long. Arthur G., it is great to have you with us. I hope you're getting at least 8 or so hours of sleep per night. You're working hard.
Maybe combined an 8 or 9 hours of sleep this week. Certainly not 8 or 9 hours a night. I need to change that, though, going forward.
Well, Art, I hope you're spending a little bit of time at the beach and not in the bar.
Yes, it is sunny and clear, and, you know, it feels like a vacation at times, but, you know, most of the time we're working, so, you know, we're seeing some great basketball so far.
I know you're putting in some long hours, and we really appreciate the time. And before we delve into the finals and talk about the matchup with the Mavs and the Heat, we did want to get your thoughts on, there's been a number of very big NBA headlines that have been made this week, obviously at the forefront. Shaquille O'Neal announcing his retirement, had a legendary career. He has been such a great ambassador for the game, and I know the league is going to miss him. What were your thoughts when you heard his announcement that was made on Twitter?
Well, it's funny because I remember Shaq going back to high school in San Antonio and actually seeing him play back then. And, you know, even as a 16, 17-year-old, he was so much bigger and stronger and faster than everyone else. And, you know, obviously you're going to see that in high school. But that never seemed to change. I mean, when he got to LSU, bigger, stronger, faster. When he got to the league, you know, this is a guy that, from a physical standpoint, there's no one that combined that, had that combination of size, strength, athleticism. I mean, I remember Shaq 15, 18 years ago. He was faster than most guards on the court. And yeah. Then, like you said, he was a great ambassador. He was a great interview. I loved talking to him over the years. He promoted the game. You know, he's pretty much stayed out of trouble. You know, whatever city he played on, he just connected with the fans. I just think, yeah, the NBA, and I think Stern said this, lost the true giant. And that's true. I mean, this is a guy that we all loved for basically two decades now. And I don't know if there's somebody in the league that can step up and fill those shoes when it comes to talent, personality, and everything else.
Art, you know, Shaquille O'Neal, certain to be a Hall of Famer, I would say, in probably 5 years or so. And what a guy. You talked about what an imposing force he was down low and in the paint. 7'1", 325, had that big body that could bang, but he could get up and down the floor. Where in your mind does he rank in regards to perhaps as one of the best centers that's ever played the game?
I think he's in that conversation, as, you know, certainly in the top five, maybe in the top three. You look at guys like Wilt Chamberlain and obviously Bill Russell for winning so many championships, Kareem, the all-time scoring leader. And then after that, I think you have to start, you get to Shaq. And, you know, I hope people don't remember his career by what's happened the last few years. He was obviously injured in Boston quite a bit this past season. Didn't have really a successful run in Cleveland. But before that, his L.A. years, his Miami years, he had a little bit of a resurgence there in Phoenix. This is a guy that played at an all-star, all-NBA level for a decade plus. And I think history is going to remember him as, you know, maybe the third, fourth best center in history.
It's hard to believe 19 years have rolled by. That's how long he was a part of the league. 4 NBA titles. He played with 6 teams. But I think what I remember the most, Art, is, you know, those 3 consecutive titles with the Lakers. And I think if anyone maximized his ability the best was in the triangle offense and, of course, was Phil Jackson.
Yeah, I mean, and Phil knew what to do with so many different
kinds of talented players. Obviously, in Chicago, he didn't have a center of Shaq's caliber, but, you know, a guy like Bill Cartwright was effective. In L.A., you know, he built that triangle around Shaq and Kobe. And, you know, I always wonder, had guys been able to work out some of their issues off the court? You know, could they have run off 5-6 titles? You know, maybe. I mean, I think it was a premature end. And then obviously Shaq got to Miami and helped the Heat win, you know, their first title. So, yeah, I mean, Phil Jackson, it's funny, he's gone too. So the league loses probably. I mean, Phil Jackson may come back, but I think this is it for Shaq.
Glad you're with us this weekend on the Big E Sports Show. Art Garcia is joining us. He, of course, is with ESPNDallas.com. He is covering the NBA Finals. And just another thought, you know, when I think about his time even, you know, playing for Coach Jackson, you had talked about just, you know, how strong Shaq is, how he would overwhelm his opponents down low. But he also became a great passer when he started playing that triangle offense, too.
I think he had great court vision, and true. He had, obviously, he was strong, but there are a lot of guys in the league that have been strong. Shaq also had great hands, and, you know, when you combine the court vision with the hands and the fact that you're just bigger than most people, I think you have the ingredients for a good passer. You know, you look at a guy like Dirk Nowitzki, who also 7 feet tall. He's learned to pass a lot better over the course of his career, and Dirk always had those physical gifts in terms of, you know, ball handling and being able to catch and see over people. It took him a while to develop the, you know, the confidence to swing the ball. And I think Shaq, really within the triangle, was, especially at his height, was easily the best passing big man in the league.
Of course, Shaquille O'Neal, his contribution significant to the league. In your mind, Art, should he have perhaps, you know, with all the injuries that he had to deal with over the past couple of years, would you have liked to have seen him retire a little bit sooner?
No, I mean, this is their careers and this is their lives. I mean, I don't think we're in any position to dictate when other people should hang it up. You know, people like to say that Jordan tarnished his legacy by going back and playing in Washington. Guys still wanted to play basketball again, and it's his life. And at the end of the day, if somebody's willing to sign you to a contract and wants to pay you and wants you on your team, if you want to play, play. I don't think it tarnishes his legacy at all. It doesn't take away his 4 titles, the fact that he was injured late in his career. It doesn't take away his MVPs. You know, he still did all of those things. So the fact that he didn't maybe go out on top, that's his decision, and I'm not going to question him or, you know, criticize him for it.
And, of course, Shaquille O'Neal, he still will vicariously enjoy the game. You know, it's not going to be long. He is made for TV. He's got that star power, that engaging smile and personality. And where do you think he's going to end up?
I think he wants to have a TV career. I know in the past he's done some TV work, and it maybe wasn't as engaging as people would have liked. But I think it's hard when you're a player in the league to maybe be as critical. There's no reason why he can't be a Charles Barkley type, you know, because he obviously has opinions. You know, he's a fun guy. He's a guy that's seen the league inside and out. So I think if he decides he wants to share some of that insight, I think it'll be good for us as basketball fans to hear what a guy like Shaq has to say, especially if it's unfiltered.
Well, a guy that has taken some time off, he's been working TV on NBA.com, but he has now reemerged and will become the head coach. It is official. He is now the head coach of the Houston Rockets. That, of course, is Kevin McHale. I'm a big fan of him and all that he was able to accomplish during his time with the Celtics. What were your thoughts on his selection?
You know, at first I was surprised. Obviously, he didn't have a great run in Minnesota, but I think he's been able to step back a little bit, kind of assess how things went there in Minnesota. Obviously, you always hear that guys, when they get into TV, they use that opportunity to travel around the league and to talk to coaches and to talk to personnel people and just pick up things that you can't do when you're working day-to-day. So I think that's probably has been a good thing for Kevin. He obviously knows the game. He's a Hall of Famer. You know, for him, I think the key is hiring a good, solid staff. But, you know, it's not going to be easy for him in Houston. I mean, they have a lot of decisions to make there. This team that hasn't made the playoffs the last couple of years. The Yao Ming situation is still up in the air. I mean, people are wondering if he's going to retire. You know, this is a team built around Kevin Martin. I'm just interested to see how the next few months go with McHale and Daryl Morey as they figure out this roster. Obviously, we have to figure out the labor thing first, but I think they have a lot of decisions to make in Houston, and I think Kevin's experience lends is makes him well suited for this because he's been on the personnel side, he's been on the coaching side. So I think it's a good match for now.
And I would assume that the Rocket fans, they're going to embrace him. And, you know, as you had said, Houston's missed the playoffs the last 2 years. I mean, I wonder just how long it will take to get this team moving forward and to get them to be more competitive.
The one thing is they've spent money there before. I mean, this is a team that, you know, it's been a while, but they won titles in the 90s, and they've perennially been a playoff team. They went out and got McGrady. They thought McGrady and Yao Ming would be a ticket to long playoff runs and championships. And Morey is a very aggressive GM. I don't know how long it'll take to rebuild because I don't know what direction they're going to go in, but I don't think it's a team that's going to do it on the cheap. I think they're going to, you know, look under every stone and try to make that team better because Houston's a good basketball town. That team has had success, and I think they want to build a winner as quickly as they can.
Art Garcia has been with us this weekend on the Big E Sports Show. Of course, you can check out all of his work at ESPNDallas.com. He has been in Miami all week long. Of course, the Mavs will get underway Sunday night at the AAC. And what has been your impression so far of this series?
You see LeBron and D-Wade in a different mode than you see him in the regular season. I mean, these guys can dominate the game at both ends of the court. And I think for the Mavericks, that's been, you know, the biggest challenge so far is you're not going to shut down either one of those guys, but you need to slow down one if you really realistically have a chance to win this thing. And, you know, I think Dirk's going to continue to play well as he has throughout the playoffs. He needs help. He needs a Jason Terry or a Peja Stojakovic or a Sean Marion. On a consistent basis, he needs these guys to step up and be scoring threats because Dirk can't carry this thing by himself, especially when you see Dwayne and LeBron on the other side. So the Mavericks have their hands full in this series, but I still think they can win this thing. They're a good defensive team. I think they have the right temperament, and they have a lot of guys that are playing for so much. I mean, a title is really the only thing a guy like Dirk needs or Jason Kidd or Marion in their careers. They've done everything else. The one thing they don't have is a title. So from a hunger standpoint, I think the Mavericks still have an edge in this series, and coming back to Dallas, I think it's going to be huge for them to try to build some momentum going forward.
Art, I think back to Game 1. Of course, the Mavs were completely out-rebounded, 46-36, and it seems like that's been continuity in the message with Coach Rick Carlisle. He continues to encourage his team. They have got to attack the glass offensively and defensively. We saw it in the series even with the Thunder, that those were areas that they really had to address. Why have they struggled at times with that?
You know, I don't know. Tyson Chandler is a big part of those struggles. You can't be 7-1 and athletic as Tyson is and get four rebounds as he did in Game 1. He's really got to clean those things up because the Mavericks can't run. They can't get in their offense if they're not rebounding. You give Miami second possessions, they're going to score. I mean, that's a key to you know, basketball 101. The more chances you got to shoot, that your odds of scoring go up. If the Mavericks can't rebound the basketball, it just leads to so many problems. And they're a team that I know wants to attack Miami in transition and not play half-court basketball every possession. They want to get out there and put pressure on the Heat defense and get to the rim, maybe get some fouls. Because when you play half-court basketball against the Heat, those guys become even better defenders because they're so fast, they're so strong, they cover so much space that your best bet is getting them on the run in positions where they can't set up.
You talked about the Heat and how much they really have dialed up their game and they're getting up and down the floor so much quicker. How much more physical is it on the interior?
It is. I mean, it's very physical down there. I mean, they're just a long – they don't have a traditional center they really play. They're long and strong and athletic, and I think it still starts with LeBron and Wade. They kind of set the tempo, but they don't give up easy baskets. I mean, the Mavericks can buy a basket inside Game 1, and if they're not effective inside, it puts too much pressure on their jump shooters. So it's a very strong physical defensive team, and their best players now are playing more minutes in the playoffs. So it's not like the key team that we saw in the regular season. LeBron's playing 45 minutes tonight, so Dwayne Wade's playing 40 minutes a night. These guys don't come off the floor, and they're still young and strong and aggressive, and I just think it gives the Mavericks a lot of problems.
All right. Art, thank you so much. We appreciate you stopping by. We look forward to continued coverage. And, of course, you can check out all of Art Garcia's work at ESPNDallas.com.
Thank you.
You bet. We're going to step aside. Much more straight ahead this weekend on the Big E Sports Show.